Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, Fox?
Hey, good Monday morning. Happy you're with us. Hope you had a great weekend like I did. I have to tell you, the weather just couldn't have been more beautiful for homecoming stuff this weekend for my kid. And
oh, yeah. How'd that go?
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah, I was fine. I mean, I was only responsible for going and taking the pictures.
Well, that's a big role. And I'll be honest, it's like in the crowd, you know, if you have a group picture, really any picture, you go find the woman to take the picture.
Thank you.
You don't ask the man. So how did you get stuck with that job?
I am perfectly capable of taking a photo. My wife was out of town.
Okay, well, there's the answer.
I had to go do it.
All right. Bingo.
She was complimentary of my photos, so I have, you know, what else was she going to say, really?
Well, she's trained you well, I guess, in that way.
That's right. And Friday night, I got to go to the St. Louis Bourbon Festival. I wasn't sure I was going to make the call on that. I wasn't feeling great, but I went down there, and it was fantastic. It was packed. There were people lined up around the block waiting to get in when the doors opened at 5 for the VIP and then 6 for the general admission. And there were hundreds of vendors. I mean, there was just about no bourbon you could think of that wasn't represented down there.
Nice. You know, my brother-in-law went to that, of course, Mr. Bourbon.
Yes.
And that's neat. I'm just glad that you guys had such great weather for it.
Great weather. They had food vendors out there, which of course you needed if you're drinking that much bourbon, and lots of Ubers pulling up and picking people up and dropping them off afterwards.
How much were they surging the prices?
It wasn't bad. I think I went back to U City where I parked in my kid's house, and it was like $25.
That's not bad.
On the way back.
Nice.
And the guy picking me up he's like, how long is this thing going to last? I'm like, you're going to get a lot of business out of this tonight. I left at about 8 maybe, and it was supposed to go till 9 or 10, so I'm sure that he got several more rides out of that deal.
I bet.
If people were smart, let's put it that way, like me. Anyway, hopefully you got to get out and enjoy that a little bit this weekend. Kim and I were just talking about this a minute ago. What are your plans for early voting? Ethan, you just told me a minute ago you're going to be out of town on November 5th.
Correct.
That means you can legally absentee vote, but you don't need an excuse if you start tomorrow in Missouri. You going?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've already made plans, me and my wife.
You cannot work for this show and not plan to vote early.
I might even actually take my mom with me, who's probably listening. So
nice.
Good. So Kim, I can answer your question.
And I see. I said, where do I
go
vote?
Where to vote next, starting tomorrow. You, because you live in St. Charles County, can either vote. You have two choices. At the Element Church out in Wentzville, or at the St. Charles County Election Authority, which is on Turner Boulevard in St. Peter's.
Cool.
397 Turner Boulevard. So starting tomorrow, the 22nd, from 8:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, they're going to be open. And then they've got some Saturday hours on October 26th and November 2nd. And they'll be open until 5 p.m. on Monday, November 4th. And then if you miss that, then you're just going to have to wait and vote on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Missouri is going to have big numbers like we've seen some of these other states, like Georgia. I think, was it not North Carolina? I would be surprised if it were North Carolina, but for some reason I thought I heard that this morning.
Yeah, I did hear some interesting numbers out of Pennsylvania over the weekend. And at first I was wondering why they were bragging about this, why they were bragging about it being such a big deal. But like in Pennsylvania last year for early voting, there were 500,000 Democrat votes have already been returned in Pennsylvania, and only 215,000 Republican votes have been returned early voting so far in Pennsylvania. But compared to 2020, that's a 39% drop in Democrat votes voting early at this point, and it's about a 30% increase in Republicans voting early at this point, which is like 80 or 90,000 votes or something
wow.
like that. Wow.
Well, yeah, when you give us that perspective, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. So Republicans are answering the call to vote early. And there appears to be some momentum in states like Pennsylvania and Georgia and things like that, where registration efforts have been strong. The ground game has been strong for Trump. And they're encouraging people, don't wait until Election Day. And that's why you'll hear me preach it here over and over and over again. So I've gotten permission now from my friend Marty Bennett to repost the judge choices for the St. Louis County Family Association. They put together a list with their choices on judges. They've done the research. This is how they think you should vote on these judges. And on every one of these ballots, that's going to take up some of your time. And if you don't know how you're going to vote, you're either probably going to vote all no's or all yeses, and that's not always a great strategy. So I'm going to offer that up to you in addition to my voter guide. We'll put that link on the website a little later today. In the meantime, I'm going to post it up on Facebook here shortly when I can figure out how to do that. So bear with me. It's a technological challenge this morning. Coming up, we're going to get to Hans von Spakovsky. But first, let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
She doesn't go to any events. She's a loser. She doesn't go to any events. She didn't even show up for the Catholics last night.
That is Donald Trump talking about Kamala not going to the Al Smith dinner, right? And then the story comes out this weekend that she had a screaming match with her manager, campaign manager, about that. Campaign manager suggested she not go out of fear of hacking off their pro-abortion crowd by going to a Catholic event. And now Kamala, in hindsight, decided that that was a bad idea.
A black man asking, what about us, is not a crime. It's not misogyny. It's us exercising our rights as American citizens to question why you should have our support.
Yeah, how about that? Stephen A. Smith, the ESPN analyst, right? He's got his own podcast. He's pretty outspoken on politics, too. Not that I agree with him on politics. In fact, he's voting for Kamala Harris, but he's mad at Barack Obama for berating black men who might vote for Trump.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Donald Trump, great picture. I saved it to my phone earlier. I've got to post this up to Facebook. What a fantastic photo of him manning the French fry machine at the McDonald's there in Pennsylvania. That was just classic. And got the tie on. Never loses the tie. Hope he didn't get any grease on that nice tie. I've got a Donald Trump tie or two at home, and those are nice, high quality stuff. I thought that was pretty good campaign move, as Kim said earlier, because how many people did he influence by going to that McDonald's in terms of going to vote or not vote? I don't know, but the media around it has been insane. It's everywhere. The Democrats are mad because he went, but they're talking about it. They're making fun of him on late night TV, but they're talking about him.
Yep.
And Donald Trump embraces the fact that no PR is bad PR.
You know, I saw someone posting online about how when people were going to the polls, especially these low information, not taking the time to look into these issues or look into the candidates.
Yep.
A lot of these iconic pictures can actually make a difference. And you think about the picture with Trump after he was the attempted assassination with, the fist in the air. Then you think about the picture where Elon Musk is jumping up in the air on stage next to him. And now you see that picture of Donald Trump with his hand up waving out of the drive-thru window. I mean, those are three iconic pictures that are going to go down in the history books. I truly believe that. Think of one classic, iconic Kamala Harris picture from this election cycle. Can you think of one?
No.
I can't either. But if I say Trump, I mean,
maybe hugging Lizzo the other day, but she kind of disappeared in that picture.
I, I think that I'm not saying that's going to be what determined, but I'm just saying, I mean, that's a big deal that there are at least three things that have that are associated with Donald Trump that everybody's talking about.
Yep, I think you're right. And he understands that probably better than anyone. All right, quick break here because we've got Hans von Spakovsky coming up and we're going to talk more about these recent legal decisions affecting election integrity laws around the country. We'll be right back.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Hans, I'm so glad to have you with us today because I need somebody to explain that to me that you just heard. That even if a local elections official in Georgia suspects fraud, they still have to certify their results. How could a judge rule on something like that?
Well, it was a bad decision by a bad judge. You need to understand, this judge, Judge McBurney, he has a sordid history. He has in the past not only issued other bad decisions, but has defied the state Supreme Court. So if you're expecting logic from this, forget it. And I say that, look, as a former county election official in Georgia, in Atlanta.
Look,
you swear an oath when you become a county election official to uphold the laws of the state. And if I was presented with results of an election and I was told we have clear evidence that fraudulent votes were cast and unfortunately counted and they affected the margin of victory. In other words, you know, somebody won by 500 votes, but we have clear evidence that 1,000 people voted who don't live in the county. The idea that I'm forced to certify that election is ridiculous. There's no logic to it.
I saw a story, and I don't know if it's connected to that case, but that Republicans appealed a Georgia judge's ruling that invalidates 7 of those election rules. That's different from the McBurney case, right?
Well, no. He ruled on a number of different rules, new rules that have been adopted by the State Board of Elections. Another one that's just a nutty ruling by him.
Yes.
Was that they adopted a rule saying at the end of the day, election officials have to reconcile the numbers. They have to make sure that the number of ballots cast, the number of ballots in the ballot box, matches the number of voters who checked in to vote. That seems like pretty common sense thing. And he said, oh, no, they can't do that. And that tells you how nutty his decision is.
I have to get your take, Hans, on the Elon Musk situation where he's giving away $1 million randomly to people who signed the pact to basically support constitutional rights. And now everyone's saying, oh, you know, this could violate election laws.
What election laws? that's foolishness again by the left. I don't know. I'm not aware of a single law. If you go to a polling place and you hand over $50 to a voter and say, I want you to vote for X, that violates federal law. But the kind of thing that Elon Musk is doing, that's not a violation of the law.
Wait a minute, are you telling my friends over here in East St. Louis they can no longer hand out money at the polling place?
That is exactly right.
Not that that's not been going on for years. I'm just saying, wow. Yeah.
And listen, hey, Mark, it's not just money. We added a case to our election fraud database a couple of years ago of some folks, you know, caught bribing voters down in Texas, but they were paying them with cigarettes, beer, and cocaine.
Oh, my God. Kamala's probably going to do that, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, here it is. Of course, it was on CNN, quoting experts who say what he's doing may be illegal. They're now claiming in this story on CNN. They had to go a long way to find out on Meet the Press. It was Josh Shapiro. He said it was deeply concerning and something that law enforcement should take a look at, although he couldn't cite any particular reason for that.
Well, that's exactly what I would have said. Who did they cite, and what specific law did they cite? And that makes it clear he's just fanning hot air at Elon Musk.
Yeah, Derek Mullers, who they quoted as well, an election law expert from Notre Dame.
Who said that
if you start limiting prizes or giveaways to only registered voters, that's when bribery concerns arise. So now they're calling it bribery. It never ends, Hans. It's going to be a great 2 weeks, isn't it?
It is. You notice they're not concerned about the fact that you saw the news last week that the UK Labour Party said they were going to send their members to the U.S. campaign for Kamala Harris. That is definitely illegal under federal law.
That's a great point. Hans, thanks for your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Have a great week, my friend. All right. We're back with Check of Business in just a minute.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
That's happened to me for 30 years. People have threatened me that I'm going to cancel you. That's hard to do. I own the show. And so you're not going to get to cancel me. So you can leave, but you can't cancel me.
I love that. Recognize that voice?
Dave Ramsey.
It's Dave Ramsey.
He came out and supported Trump, right?
He did announce that. And it's interesting because, you know, Ramsey's not been real political over the years. He's just a no-nonsense, this is how you save money, this is how you get rich kind of guy. And he said, I looked at the policies of both candidates. I didn't even need the names attached to the candidates. I just looked at their policies and to try to determine which one is going to benefit me most, from tax policy to everything that's involved, immigration, all of it. And it was an easy choice. I'm voting for Donald Trump.
It should be. And I know Kamala Harris has stood there and said, oh, you know, so-and-so, these smart economists, they back me up and the plan I have for the economy. I'm sorry. I really question your, I don't even have words, really. You want to back Kamala?
Yeah, there you go. I did. So I thought I'd play that for you from Dave Ramsey. If you are a fan of Dave, that's what he says. He's like, I own the show. Good luck. If you try to cancel me, I'm just saying. That would be a nice position to be in, wouldn't it? Let's get to our guest, please. Dom Savino in this morning for Nicole Murray. And Dom, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. I was listening this morning as you and Gordon were talking about the World Series, now that it's set between, once again, the Yankees and the Dodgers, right?
Yep. I could not be more excited as a lifelong Yankee fan.
Okay.
15 years out of the World Series feels like an eternity in the Bronx.
I get that because I'm a Kentucky fan, and it's been 12 years since we've been to the NCAA final game. So I think Major League Baseball has got to be thrilled about this, right? The two biggest television markets in the country are playing in the World Series. Some of the highest paid athletes in the game are playing in the World Series.
In the middle
of the country, I could care less. Can I just tell you that?
I can't blame you for that. I think both things are true at once.
Yes.
MLB is stoked. Most folks in America could not care less.
Brad could be.
Yeah, right. Shohei Ohtani versus Aaron Judge is really cool, objectively. The two MVPs or the expected MVPs doing battle for a world title. But
yep.
I don't blame you in the slightest. At the very least, maybe like the Mets could have been like the underdog of sorts to root for in a Subway Series if it was all New York. But yeah.
And Mike Gavin has not recovered yet, right?
No.
That's what I heard.
That there are a couple Mets fans at our site. Couple of them who are also New York Giants fans who had a terrible day yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So all in all, miserable Sunday for most of our folks here.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what else is going on in the business world?
Yeah, Mark, we'll start on Wall Street. Futures are slightly lower as earnings season gets set to ramp up. About one-fifth of S&P 500 companies will report this week, and results so far have been mixed. In spite of that, the market is at record highs. The Dow and S&P 500 are both on their best winning streaks of the year. That's 6 weeks straight. Boeing may soon be back in business. The plane maker and its largest union have reached a tentative deal, which could end a month-long strike that's halted most production. The proposal negotiated with the 33,000 Boeing machinists includes a wage increase of 35% over 4 years. The union set to vote on the deal Wednesday. Starting next month, Microsoft will allow customers to build autonomous AI agents in the latest move to tap the booming technology. Autonomous agents are programs that require little intervention, so they're capable of handling client questions or managing inventory, things like that. Some analysts believe such agents could allow companies to more easily monetize their AI capabilities. Two of the largest healthcare companies are reviving efforts to come together. That's Cigna and smaller rival Humana, which combined for more than 35 million customers. The health insurers tried to merge the first time late last year, but they failed to agree on a price. Talks are described as informal and in their early stages. Hundreds of frozen waffle products sold in leading retailers like Walmart and Target are being recalled because of listeria contamination. The recall covers a bunch of waffles sold under labels like Walmart's Great Value, Target's Good and Gather, and private label brands sold by Schnucks and Kroger. There have not been any confirmed reports of illness related to the waffles, though. And Mark, I'm sad about this one. It's the end of a retail era. The last full-sized Kmart in the United States, located on Long Island in New York State, has closed its doors for good. At its peak, Kmart had well over 2,000 stores nationwide, but all that remains of the one-time retail empire are stores in Guam and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The Kmart in New York is, perhaps appropriately, expected to be replaced by a Target.
Of course.
So you said full-size. Have there been miniature versions of it somewhere?
So apparently there is a small Kmart still hanging on in Miami, but I've not been to Miami in years. I've never been to the Kmart in Miami ever. From what I can glean, this is like a knockoff Kmart of sorts that's still got the name.
Sort of a blue light special Kmart.
Right, basically.
Kmart was the store I'd go to on the holidays because you'd want to play a game and you don't have that particular game. It was always open for Christmas, Thanksgiving, from what I remember. My sisters and I would go there.
I've never worked in retail. I'm just speculating here. But it strikes me that if you only have 3 stores left in the world, what the hell is the supply chain like for that? I mean, they can't all have the same stuff because you wouldn't have any warehouse that would stock stuff just for 3 stores. That's crazy.
Yeah, I guess they're hanging on for dear life or whatever products get to Guam, get there, and that's nice. Put them on the shelf.
Yep, exactly. All right. Yeah. Dom, thank you.
I thank you guys.
Talk absolutely. You we'll talk to you maybe Friday. Appreciate that.
I got my first kitchen table out of college from Kmart. It was like $200. It's a little things like that I remember.
My wife worked there in high school, according to what she tells me. Mm. And, you know, hated the blue light specials because people would, like, swarm you. She preferred to work, like, in the back, like, stocking stuff.
Yeah, not have to deal with
and
people.
And not having to deal with the folks up there.
I'm sure a lot of people feel like that work in retail.
She worked at the one up in Florissant, right there at Lindbergh and Newhall's Ferry, I think.
R.I.P. I guess soon to be R.I.P. Kmart if you're the only ones left are in Guam and the Virgin Islands, and I guess one little one in Miami.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they just didn't adjust to the Walmarts of the world, right? Because they were sort of Walmart before Walmart was Walmart. But Sam Walton figured out a better mousetrap. There's no doubt about that. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Gary Frater coming up in the next hour, talking about how social media has changed the landscape when it comes to how information gets out around elections. And while that seems like a simple statement, it's more complicated than you might think in terms of which genders are more likely to use certain social media versus others, versus how many, what percentage of the public do you think, Kim St. Ange, still gets information from the mainstream news media? What percentage of people do you think?
It's going to be higher than I'd like it to be. I'm going to 40%. No, higher than that. I'm going to say close to 50%.
I think you'll be surprised. We'll talk to Gary Frater coming up here at about 7:20 this morning. Stay tuned for that. In a minute, we're going to get to another news with Ethan. We'll be right back.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
I'm gonna lose all my tonight. What's the dealio?
What's happening?
happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Singer Pink has postponed four of her upcoming concerts, claiming it was beyond her control. Those concerts were in Lincoln, Sioux Falls, Des Moines, and Milwaukee. Pink had previously canceled a tour date in July, and that was because of some health issue. So I don't really know what's going on, but she's having to cancel a lot of concerts.
Wow. Maybe her sweatpant line is not selling as well as she had hoped.
She has a sweatpant line.
Used to see those
line
on people's rear end all over the place, didn't you?
Mark.
What?
You need to do like crickets for that one.
Hold on, I got you.
Why? Wait. Is that not a thing?
You know that's Victoria's Secret, right?
No, it's Pink.
Oh, okay. I hope your daughter's listening right now,
okay,
to make fun of you
sorry
later.
Okay, all right.
Well, the CEO of CVS has stepped down after the pharmacy chain warned its earnings will fall short of Wall Street's forecast. The now former CEO, Karen Lynch, will be replaced by CVS Caremark president David Joyner. Shares fell 9.9%, and that's after shares had already fallen 19% earlier this year. Just this month, CVS said it planned to cut 2,900 jobs.
Wow. Well, I mean, again, just like Walgreens, right?
Yeah, I mean, these little pharmacies, they can't keep up.
No,
I mean, people are going to grocery stores, to Walmart. Can you even get your prescriptions at Walmart now? Don't they have a
think
Costco?
You
can get them at Costco.
Yeah.
Probably Sam's.
I know you could
Schnucks
in
Schnucks. Yeah, but Schnucks is
Dearburgs.
CVS.
Oh, yeah.
Inside
well,
theirs.
Still, you don't need a whole separate brick and mortar. You need just within a Dearburgs or within a Schnucks or something like that. All right. I don't know if you guys like to, you know, do lottery stuff. I'm not a big fan. But just in case you're wondering, the Powerball jackpot now up to $456 million after no one won over the weekend. There were two people, though, who won $1 million each. One person in California, the other one in Pennsylvania. And they're actually going to be drawing for a new winner later on today.
Elon Musk is drawing $1 million winner every day. Why do we care about that?
Go sign the pack.
And it's for free. All you have to do is go sign up.
Do you have to be in Pennsylvania to get that?
I don't think so.
I thought you did.
Probably. Really?
It said, yeah. I thought you had to be in the swing state.
I thought you had to be in at least a swing state. Yeah, sorry,
yeah,
Mark.
I thought it was for anybody.
I wonder what the tax difference is on that, Pennsylvania versus California.
Yeah, no kidding.
Really.
Drew is very smart. He's worried about how much he'd have to pay in taxes if he won $1 million.
Vote Trump.
Yeah.
Well, six new civil lawsuits have been filed against Sean Diddy Combs, and for the first time, other celebrities are accused of participating in the alleged assaults. But here's the thing, they're not identifying him in the lawsuits. They're just calling him Jane Doe or John Doe. But listen to this. One person claims when she was a minor, I think 13 years old, she was invited by a limo driver to attend an MTV Video Music Awards after party that Diddy threw back in 2000. She says she felt drowsy after consuming a beverage, then says a male and female celebrity joined Diddy in this bedroom and took turns raping her while the others watched.
Wow.
Now it gets pretty dark if you go down the rabbit hole of P. Diddy.
Of like who it might be, who might have been involved? Like, is anybody speculating on that?
I mean,
it's got to come out at some point.
It's
like the Epstein
allegedly
list.
There's a bunch.
Wow.
It goes on and on. Maybe
Sick.
Pink, you know?
No. Sick and twist. Yeah, maybe.
Well, people were skeptical because she had deleted all her ex posts or whatever. And then people were, she came back and was like, no, I had deleted that back in like February.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with Diddy.
Yeah.
And then Usher too.
Yeah, Usher. I know. It's really sad. All right. Experts warn that if you receive a suspicious text message, certain phrases like "would you kindly" can be a clear sign of a scam. According to a technology analyst, the use of the word "kindly" should raise suspicion because it's not typical thing. It's not U.S. vernacular that you would typically hear someone say. So they're saying be especially wary of any suspicious text, spelling or grammar errors, and any sort of those, you know, emails, really, or text messages that you're receiving.
Yeah, it's the first clue. Second one is you have a long-lost relative in India who wants to send you $1 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Just give me a gift card. Everything will be fine.
Would you kindly respond so your cousin in India can send you $10 million?
All right, one last one. A new report reveals that many employers are firing the recently hired Gen Z college graduates just months into their job, citing poor performance. 6 in 10 employers have already let go of Gen Z hires with common complaints, including lack of motivation, professionalism, organization and communication skills, tardiness, inappropriate attire, and unprofessional language were also noted.
Wow. Inability to complete a sentence? Is that the communication problem?
There you go.
That's Twitter's
not
fault.
Showing up to work because they feel like they don't owe it to anybody to actually, you know, do their job they're getting paid for.
Wow. Yeah. Well, parents, we bear some responsibility for that. I just have to say, we've allowed it to happen. That's a shame. Coming up, we're going to talk more about social media and the impact it may be having in this election.